Before we head into Jim Lynch, I'm going to play excerpts from two American presidents addressing the threat of the, well, back then it was the Soviet Empire, not Russia, but the Soviet Empire.
All free men, wherever they may live, are citizens of Berlin. And therefore, as a free man, I take pride in the words, Ich bin ein Berliner.
And of course, the next one.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Well, we won't hear anything like that anytime soon. Ladies and gentlemen, let's bring in Jim Lynch. Good morning, Jim.
And good morning to you and Jill and everybody out there. Quite a week or so. Let's just go quickly to the stock market. It looks poised to take another dip, primarily because the market's been up for most of the year because of the technical stocks, the technology stocks. And they look like they're getting ready to be hit. Netflix last night reported poor future sales. Nothing devastating, but the stock was off 50 points. So I would look for more of that today. If you're not out of the stock market, to some degree, holding on to maybe core holding, you should consider that. And if you reinvest, I would reinvest in two-year governments. I wouldn't go any longer than that. Again, on the economic front, the European Union is not wasting any time. They just made the largest trade agreement with that the Japanese have ever made. And it's a little bit... It doesn't deal with our economy, but it helps the Europeans and the Japanese. We saw NATO, how the president, the current president, wants to just tear up everything that's ever been done that was really good, such as NATO, which for 70 years has basically kept us on somewhat of a standoff in terms of war. I think it's important to note that this is, I guess, about the third week in a row where the president has had one disaster after another. Firstly, the Korean thing, then NATO, and finally, this treasonous, and I say treasonous, behavior in Russia, where he basically threw us, the U.S., particularly the intelligence community, under the bus and basically gave into the wishes of not only a dictator, but a killer and a criminal, Putin. And on that score, I think we should realize that we have been attacked. It's been a cyber attack by the Russians. And Trump's inability to deal with that for whatever reason has just made the world an even greater danger, a dangerous place to participate in. So I know I, like many of my colleagues, are exhausted from yesterday, but so be it. We've got to pull up our socks, and we certainly have to vote, and we certainly have to appreciate what we've had in the past. And don't give up on it too easily here, even though I think we have a character. Marshall was kind enough to play these tapes. I would suggest you might want to view the Manchurian Candidate, Frank Sinatra film of years ago, which basically showed the brainwashing of GIs. It's a wonderful film. And I'm not saying that Trump has been brainwashed, but there's something wrong in Denmark, so to speak.
You know, I'm not gonna only blame President Trump. I played John Fitzgerald Kennedy and Ronald Reagan for a reason. Basically, after Ronald Reagan was president, the threat of Russia, or the threat of Russia's influence on the United States, waned through all the presidents. I mean, you're looking at President Clinton, you're looking at President Ford, you're looking not Nixon. Nixon also held strong against Russia, but everybody else, Russia was kind of put on the back burner. And even with President Obama, he wasn't forcefully strong against Russia until one point at the very end, but still not forcefully. But we have slid into this complacency, and with Russia and with China, China on the economic front, but Russia really on the front as a foe of the United States, and there's no way you can put it. The governments of the United States and Russia are in conflict and have been, and people are suddenly realizing it. Once again now.
But they're also realizing, hopefully, and there's a good book coming out, if you like fiction, it's not quite fiction. You know, I've talked about Daniel Silva before. And this this book, it's out. Yeah, you know, I happen to be a big fan, but it covers this topic, and it also covers, and this is something that's really important for people to understand, is how long this has been going on, that there's been a lot of activity going on that makes for a new world order and conflict that no one really focuses on a regular basis. And I'm not talking about just like really weird conspiracy. I'm talking about geopolitical agreements and who's messing with whom and how they're making sure that their messing prevails. And I sometimes wish that a little more time were spent, some more time were spent on the actual things that are like really bad behavior that goes on a regular basis, so that you know, so that people know what the stakes are. And how, yeah, how?
I'm glad you said that, because I think one of the big problems here is not simply that our presidents haven't been strong enough, but we have allowed our country to get weaker educationally and culturally, and we've allowed ourselves to basically put things out there that are more important than our freedoms. Namely, we've become a very consumer country, larger than ever, but also we've allowed divisions to happen within the country itself. These things were exploited by Trump, this racial divide, this 1% situation. And we need to gather up our socks here and get back to respecting ourselves as citizens of the greatest country in the world, and to behave that way. Looking back in history, I reviewed something which you all might look at, but you really need to see it in its context. And this will take you back a ways, probably most of you before you were born. January 6, 1941, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, one of the great presidents of this country, made an address to Congress where he talked of the four freedoms, which this country was a beacon for, and this country was someone who would stand up and fight for. And the freedoms are very simple. Freedom is espoused in all of them. The right, basically, to live and enjoy your life and not have somebody beat on you in terms of, well, got to be this religion or that religion. I strongly suggest you get it up, Google it. You'll see this great president. You'll see the Congress in 41. And I'd love to hear some people say, well, yeah, we've seen it, and my children saw it as well. this was a time and place in history that hopefully we can go back on and get ourselves together again and understand how much we have. And in, once you get into this kind of gratitude, then you begin behaving that way towards the outside world. I totally agree with Marshall and with Jill. We have let so much go on in the world just incredible violence towards human beings that, and this thing feeds on itself. Well, sorry, Marshall.
No. What I was going to say is I'm 65, and I'm not necessarily an extremely well-read person. I consider myself to be well-read, but not extremely well-read. I consider myself to be locked in and know what's going on. But as I go back through the presidents and I look at my disagreements with presidents in the past, they've been sole issue-based problems. I mean, I can't say any problems with Jack Kennedy. I was just too young, to have any problems with. But you start with Richard Nixon with me. The way he, and Lyndon Johnson, the way the Vietnam War was handled. Of course, Richard Nixon, the way he handled protests and tried to become king. And Ronald Reagan, I didn't agree with his economic policies, what he did to the poor. But each one of those presidents that I had major problems with, I'm just going to focus on those three. Lyndon Johnson did create the Great Society, did a lot to try to curb racism. Richard Nixon stayed strong with Russia, but was still friendly with Russia, but opened up China. Ronald Reagan, after a great man but a poor president, Jimmy Carter, did restore a certain feeling in America. I don't think this country's ever undergone a presidency like this right now, which is not issue-based problems with the president, but problems with actually the way the president views the presidency of the United States.
But
that's a difference that I've never seen.
It may well be, but the way that it's here.
I'm not here to argue it. You can give your opinion.
I'm not disputing that. I'm simply saying that because you've got a generation now that is used to not doing a big read. Like every day, it's like a fragment, and so the attention is so diffuse that the only thing that focuses the attention is, for example, the absolute virulent. It's not issue based. It's everything about the guy based.
No, but that's an issue. That is an issue. The way he treats the presidency is an issue.
I understand, and I totally understand. But and you have felt this way from the very beginning. And I recall you. And this is not the show for it. But I do recall you having at one point said to me, "You just." Not nothing compared to how you feel about this president, but you had no particular affection for Ronald Reagan when he was elected.
With Ronald Reagan's certain policies, never with the way somebody approached the presidency and handled the presidency. That's my problem. Everybody's going to have, and Jim has, everybody, nobody agrees with everybody 100%. You have problems with what people do. But the office of the presidency to me, and I think to a lot of Americans, has been something special, and it's a special person that holds that office and treats it and holds it with respect. That is not happening, in my opinion, now, and that just amazes me and angers me even far more than you can fight policy. You can't fight the way someone handles a presidency. You can fight back against policy.
And I would just add to that because things have become so emotionally based and emotionally reactive that it's very hard to get past that for a lot of people. You are not alone in that. But I think that that's also being exploited to the not good because it's much easier to react and disagree with other people, and then the next thing you know, you've got, shall we say, divisiveness.
Well, anyways, the divisiveness was something that was created by somebody else. But, Jim, well, it's your show, so I'll let you go on. I'm sorry that Joe and I just took that time.
No. I think the point you made is an extremely important point. We've never had in our memory, and in reading the histories, I think we both read, not all of them, we've never had a president quite this way to sell the presidency. We see it in the people he's brought into Washington. Basically, they're thieves. They've been living high on the hog. Some have been fired. Some have resigned. He himself is embracing the presidency to make himself and his family wealthier. And it gets to the point of each of the presidents you've mentioned, they did maintain the dignity of the presidency. And that's what leadership is about. If you have a boss and you don't agree with him, but you respect him, that makes for a good team, a good organization. But when you have a president or a corporate leader who you don't respect, the net result is people taking advantage and taking advantage for their own personal needs. I think there are two things that I'd like to make very clear. This is my opinion. John Brennan, I think, said it well, former CIA guy, that the president, his behavior is that of crimes and misdemeanors, and that probably it's treasonous and probably subject to impeachment. I think we must understand we have been attacked. We have been attacked by a foreign nation. We've been attacked in something that we now use every day, the internet, our communications. We've been attacked with people creating foreign stories. And the Russians have not just been hitting us. They've been hitting countries all over, be it in Estonia or wherever. Now, this was an act of war. The people in intelligence view it as an act of war. I think the people in this country better start waking up and start addressing this as an act of war, and not just some guy, namely Trump, who's off his rocker, or more importantly, is in the bag for the Russians. They have something on him. I don't know what it is. I'll keep it simple. Money. He's been using Russian money, as his younger son Eric said several years ago, primarily because the banks in New York were fed up being losing money with him. But there's something there. Also, there's something in the Republican Party, who I believe some of them have been taking money from Russia as well. Elsewise, why aren't they standing up? The Republican Party used to be the one who'd stand up. Let's fight. You know, don't let anybody take advantage of us. I pointed out to some people, there's an article in the Dallas Morning News, it seems like it's a year ago, maybe it's less, where an oligarch in Ukraine gave $7.35 million to a PAC headed by Mitch McConnell, including the young man from South Carolina, John McCain, and others. Now, what is going on that with Citizens United throwing billions at these politicians? Why was money taken from an oligarch? I don't have the answer, but I think we better figure it out and find out why. Also, this is the same Mitch McConnell who, when asked by President Obama in October of 17, let's make a joint announcement. We believe the Russians are tapping into us cyber-wise. McConnell refused to do it. Obama didn't want to do it on his own, which he should have, because he didn't want to be influencing the election, which was literally a month or so away. That said, what is it about this guy, Mitch McConnell? Who is he in the bag for? This is the same guy who denied a process, if you would, for Obama to appoint a well-qualified judge. And now he's going to try and get away with storming the Democratic defenses on this guy Kavanaugh. But please, wake up. We are at war. Russia is at war. It's cyber war. It's not guns and bombs.
All right, we have about a minute left, Jim.
Well, I think we can conclude this war in at least a minute.
Let's talk about good weather. We'll make ourselves feel it.
No, but
your friends of mine. How long do you have to live to have all of this stuff happen? Anyhow, love you guys. Keep the faith, folks. We've got a constitution here, okay?
We do.
I suggest maybe we start rereading it.
Okay.
Jim, have a great day.
Take care
of yourself.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets here on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio.